Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and to give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, owner and lead editor at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how you can do this or could do this. Today I'm talking with Melanie Moberg, who I worked with as editor on her book Warriors in Recovery. Melanie is a codependency coach, helping her clients navigate the difficulties of loving someone suffering from mental health or addiction issues, often at the cost of their own well-being. Melanie has an array of experience with mental health and addiction, as several people in her life suffered or continue to suffer with addiction and mental health issues. When her brother Michael took his life in 2013 while he was drunk and high, Melanie set out on a path determined to create change. She earned her Master of Arts degree in addiction counselling from Hazeldene Betty Ford Graduate School of Addiction Studies and uses that knowledge to advocate for mental health and addiction recovery every day. Melanie's book is so special because she incorporates the stories of many women on the path to recovery and has treated those voices with true care. Let's hear from Melanie about her process of writing and building those relationships to understand how her book came about. Today, I'm joined by Melanie Moberg, and this is a really exciting episode because it's very unusual for me to have worked with an author who I've never spoken to before. And that's because normally I work directly with, you know, people who've written a book and I'm working one-on-one with them as their editor. But Melanie and I work together through one of my partners, so a writing coach that helps people to publish their book. And so joining me today and speaking to me for the very first time, we have Melanie Moberg. Hi.
Hey.
It's really cool to meet you because I always say that I've got a really easy business to run because I've always read a whole book about each and every one of my clients. So it makes all those, you know, those client avatar kind of exercises that you do, it makes my job really easy to know who my audience is because I've literally read the book on everyone. But it's very unusual to not have spoken to somebody before, but so this is very cool. So to kick off, rather than me doing a terrible job of summarizing your book, I'm just going to ask you to do that for the people watching, and most importantly, how the book relates to the work that you do in the world.
Yeah, so it's a long story. I feel like it's a long story, but we'll see if we can do it. So here is my book. It's titled Warriors in Recovery. It's so amazing to have your book in your hand. If you're in the process of writing a book, this it brought tears to my eyes to see my book come to my doorstep and actually be a physical thing instead of be a digital product on my computer. So that's an amazing thing to look forward to if you're writing your book. But I guess the process of writing my book came through a lot of tragedy, actually. So I lost my brother in 2013 to suicide. When he died, he was drunk and high. My sister has struggled with addiction. I've had an ex-husband that struggled. So I guess throughout my life and in my adult years, my young adult years, I had a lot of experiences with people people in addiction and having mental health issues and things like that. And it really started to spark my interest in recovery and coaching. And so I actually applied to get my master's degree with Hazeldene Betty Ford Graduate School of Addiction Studies. And my goal there was really just to understand it better because I didn't understand. I didn't understand why things couldn't be different. I didn't understand why things happened the way they happened. I didn't, with my brother's situation especially, it just hit me really hard and I felt compelled to know more and learn
more.
Was
that part of your grieving process almost?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just kind of dived like at first in and was like, I had no time for a master's degree. Like I was a single mom. I had a part-time consulting business. I worked full-time at all these things. And I just, something was calling me or pulling me to to find out more and to get some knowledge around the things I was struggling with. And so I did. I got my master's degree and really enjoyed learning about addiction and mental health. My degree is about co-occurring disorders. So when somebody has a mental health issue and an addiction or substance use problem, which is most of the time the case. So I know how to counsel people through that with my degree. And through that process, I really was finding that I thought I wanted to become a recovery coach. So what I would be doing, or what I thought I wanted to be doing, was helping people after they got out of a treatment facility, learn how to live their daily lives without their substance or their drug of choice. And I quickly realized that I really didn't resonate as much with the people that were struggling in addiction, but I really resonated with the people that loved those people. and so while I was still in grad school, actually, I solicited several people to share their stories with me. So that's how the book kind of came to be. I really wanted to still understand more, and I wanted to empathize with people in recovery or in, you know, that were struggling with addiction. And I didn't feel like I could completely do it yet. I didn't quite understand. And so I kept diving into the subject like head first, and I found 12 women that were willing to share their stories with me. And so my thought was to do a chicken soup for the soul type of book that would have longer stories. But I always like the chicken soup for the soul books because they, you know, had like little tidbits. You could get through them pretty quickly, but they were very inspirational at the same time. And so I kind of took that as my inspiration for this book. And I wanted to give the story some more substance and really tell them as they were meant to be told, and that the women, how the women wanted them to be told. And I also wanted to sprinkle some of the things I had learned through my experiences and my education and all of that throughout the book. So it actually, the book ends up being 12 women's stories, and my wisdom is kind of sprinkled throughout, along with an introduction and conclusion that you graciously helped me with. It's an amazing book. Every story is different, but yet there's strings of commonalities through each story. And the book changed my life quite literally. Like I became a different person from the start of this book to the end of the book. And I would say the process took me probably 2 years. Like I started this process of interviewing the women probably in 2019, January maybe. And I was meeting with women at coffee shops over the phone, trying any way I could to record these stories. And I'd take an audio recording and I'd have it transcribed. I was transcribing them at first by myself, which was ridiculous. I went after like three of them, I was like, I can't do this for 2 hours. So I found like online that I could pull the audio file and make it transcribe. And from there I got that written file and was able to take the story as I was told and add and make it in a readable form. It's a lot different when somebody tells you their stories versus putting it into words. You can't really, it's not a one-for-one transition at all. So that was really tricky. And with my schedule and things being really busy, it actually got really hard to continue the process. Like in the beginning, it was very easy to stay motivated because I was loving meeting these people and hearing their stories. And then life got really busy and I kind of set the book aside for a while. Like I had all these women's stories and I just set them aside. And it felt really, I felt this strong sense of responsibility to bring these stories to life because these women had shared them with me. And so I think if it hadn't been for that, I don't know if I would have finished. But
did they know when you intended, what you intended to do with the stories, that you intended to publish them in a book?
Okay. Yes, they did. That was said from the beginning. So, and then actually I had ended up having a problem with the audio at one point. I found an app that worked like a tape recorder on my phone. And what I learned was it's like illegal to record a phone conversation or something. So it won't, like the app wouldn't actually record the conversation. So I had like two or three interviews actually that did not record. And I didn't realize it until I'd gotten so far. And two of those people neglected to come back and share their stories. So I had to find, they didn't want to come back. One person did very graciously, understandably so. And so I found two more women to replace those stories. So I think everything happens the way it's meant to happen. And so I kind of just took that as gracious about it. And I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, they weren't meant to be part of the book. And so move forward with these new women. And it ended up being a really great process. So,
So when we met, you were already coaching, or I don't know if you say coaching, but you're already working with these people who were sort of one step removed from the addiction and working with people on codependency, essentially, which is what you do now. So how did those stories that are in the book, how do they feed into the work that you do with the women that you work with at the moment?
Yeah, so I think the stories in the book, I mean, like I said, I was, when I was in my master's degree in that program, I was really intending to work with people in recovery. And so that's kind of why this book started that way. Mm-hmm. But actually in the book, I actually have a chapter on codependency, because what you'll find is a lot of the people in these women's lives played a big part. There's one woman's mother who is very in the middle of things and very codependent, probably unknowingly so. I think a lot of people are codependent without knowing. And so I really started to shift the thoughts and the things I teach as a codependency coach run through this book. I think they're relatable to just about any woman. You know, self-love, boundary work, learning how to accept people in our lives as they are, that this was a very big piece for me, accepting people in my life that are still struggling. It's one of the hardest things to do, but if you can find a place of empathy and forgiveness for not only them, but for yourself and your part in that relationship, I think it just, you'll have a much more peaceful existence, and you can actually experience happiness in those relationships and walk away without feeling, you know, without a negative feeling, I guess.
Mm, yeah. So you've given us a bit of an idea of where it started and what your process was, but what was the end point for you? How did you know that you were sort of done? Obviously you'd picked 12 people to work with, and then you've weaved in your own more like pieces of wisdom rather than your own like story in as much depth as the women's stories,
right?
But how did you know, okay, I can't look at this anymore, it's time to have somebody else look at it?
Yeah, I think when I realized it had been sitting for quite a while and I was struggling to prioritize the time to write. And it was tricky to write. It wasn't, I think it would have been an easier process to write something that was just something coming out of me, but it wasn't. It was something, you know, I had these stories now on paper and and I'm like, now there's these words and how do I make them into my words? And it was just really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so I kept making goals and failing to hit my goals, you know, like, oh, I'll transcribe and write a story this week. And it kept not happening. And so I ended up reaching out to Anik, who is my book coach, my book writing coach, somebody that could keep me accountable and remind me why I was doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was priceless. I don't know that I would have a book yet without her help in getting me that far. So I think once I realized I was spinning my wheels, and I felt, like I said, like the whole time I felt this immense responsibility, because I had these women's stories, they had trusted me with them. And here they were sitting on my computer, and I felt almost ashamed that I hadn't done what I said I was going to do, even though I still intended to. It wasn't like I was ever not going to do it. It was just taking so long.
Yeah, unclosed loop, really.
Yeah. And so, my book coach was really able to help me prioritize and, you know, make sure that I was sticking on track and helping me kind of with the organizational things. Yes, she's magical, that's for sure.
She really is doing the right kind of work for sure. If anybody doesn't know who we're talking about, my business partner in a way, and the book coach that Melanie's talking about is Anik Ina. So go grab her stuff. She's fantastic at honoring your story, not keeping you on track with a kind of whip, but really making you, like you just said, making you remember why you're doing it in the first place. And
yes,
she's very good working with people whose books really are, you know, changing them as a person as they're writing. It's interesting that you said that, because I would have thought that there might be a little bit of detachment almost because they were other people's stories, but you obviously still felt that you were changed as a person by becoming an author. So what was that about?
I think you know, knowing the power that I felt every time I heard one. I mean, when I heard these stories, there were tears, there was laughter. And a lot of times, actually, and probably 98% of the time, I did not know who, I mean, I hadn't talked to these women before. I picked up the phone to call them and get their story or meet with them at a Caribou Coffee. I'd never met these people. So for them to be so vulnerable with me and to share these stories, and having been on the other side of addiction and knowing, words are words, but like knowing the actual experiences, like there's a woman in here who talks about, she was stripping to make money, and she talks about how she went into the Chuck E. Cheese for her daughter's birthday in stripper heels and her dress from the night before, and threw on some overalls over it. And her daughter thought nothing of it, but everybody else at Chuck E. Cheese was staring at her like, what the heck, lady? And it just speaks volumes to how sick people are in certain situations and how much they really need help. And so, and every one of these women, a lot of them are addictions counselors today, not everyone, but almost all of them are, they have come a full 360 degrees. And their stories just, I mean, even talking about it with you right now, like I have tears welling up in my eyes. It's just, these are real stories, you know. It's not like something made up. It's not a fiction book, it's nonfiction. I mean, these are real lives. And so there's an immense sense of responsibility to bring them to life. I mean, I think they needed to be told, and somebody was giving them to me. You know, I felt like this universal pull to share them. And so, and I feel like that's what my work is about today. It's a calling. It's not something I necessarily chose. It's just something I feel like I have something to share, and I need to share it and help people through what I was going through.
Yeah. I love that you other people's stories, because I think sometimes people, especially, you know, if they still have healing to do, they might write, but they might never publish because they're holding themselves back, or it might be very raw. And some of the stories in there are shocking. They're, you know, really sad, some parts of them, you know, a lot of heartbreak in there. So they are very difficult to share firsthand, I should think. But because you took them and nurtured them, looked after them as you published them, you kind of softened them a little bit for the audience, retained the real power, but at the same time, it's not sort of you know, as harsh or as difficult to as sharing your own story, I assume. So although you said it was possibly easier to write your own story because you know your own story inside out, I guess. So there's probably pros and cons. You don't get a lot of people though, right? It's almost like an anthology, but not, because they haven't written each section themselves. It's like this collection of stories. And it was quite nice as well, because I felt, even though you were the writer, I definitely felt like there was a touch of a different voice or vibe in some of the stories. And even though it flowed really smoothly, you could kind of get a sense of the woman through the kinds of things that she was discussing with you and sharing with you, and even some of the words that were used. So yeah, it was a really interesting way of putting a book together, and I really loved it. I actually used to be a transcriber and work with, well, not a transcriber as in, you know, sitting in the courtroom and that kind of thing, but I worked for a corporate company that did a lot of reporting and that kind of thing. So I'm very used to working from audio. And when I saw the way that you'd written it, I could tell, you know, like it reminded me a lot of my days working with transcripts and reports and stuff like that, and how that it was lovely to just see what happened reported and with some of the I suppose some of the edges smoothed out a little bit, but not the not the real emotion taken away. But it's just, you know, I think we have to be really careful not to be like re-triggering for people who are going through stuff. So it was so awesome to see that you'd synthesized and processed it and then shared. So yeah, that was I really I was in tears definitely a few times when I was editing it.
I'm sorry and thank you at the same time.
Well, if anybody, like, if anybody's not in tears from reading that book, like, have a heart.
Yes, I know. Where is your heart, right? Yeah, it's incredible.
So if you were to write another book, and if there is another book on the horizon, what would you do differently next time? Maybe it would be a completely different kind of book anyway. I don't know if you'd interview people again like that, or if you'd write more.
I really love the idea of having short stories in a book like this. I think that there's a lot of power in stories, and so I love that idea. I would do things a little differently because you know, my book coach Anik had helped me work through sort of the final approval. It was really important to me that however these stories were published, that the storyteller, or you know, the woman who was sharing their story with me, approved of how it was written. Not everybody will feel that way, but I felt like it was really important. These are really vulnerable stories, and I didn't want to misrepresent anybody. I felt a lot of I mean, this whole time I felt a ton of, I don't want to say this pressure, but just this responsibility for these women. And I did not want a book to get published and somebody to be disappointed with what was written. And even though the bulk of the women shared, you know, they changed their names and things like that, it did get a little tricky after, I think, the first round of edits. I sent every woman their story. And you may not know this because you weren't really too much a part of this, but I sent every woman their story, and I got a ton of feedback about, and I think this is the tricky part about it and maybe why I wouldn't do it again, but lots of little things that in my mind, you know, didn't change the story, or, you know, didn't change the voice or the feeling or the emotion or the amazing recovery that happened within the story, got challenged by some of the women. And so that was a little tricky. And I made some concessions along the way, that weren't big by any means, but, you know, I had some things written, and, a lot of names were changed, which was fine. I didn't really mind doing that. It was just, I was surprised at how many women all of a sudden, when they saw it in print, were like, change my name. I was like, okay, find and replace. There's a ton of that going on. It was challenging. That part was challenging. And I worked really, you know, and there was, I think, one or two women that I couldn't get a hold of them prior to it going. So I ended up just changing their names in the event that they wouldn't be okay with it. And I since actually have gotten, you know, I've since sent the stories to them. So it's all good. But that was a challenging process. And I'm not sure, I would maybe just handle it differently next time. I don't know if it would be pre-approval and like a sign-off to begin with. I'm not sure if you've run into that before, but it was tricky the way I handled it, and I don't know that I would handle it that way again.
I think the more opinions you have to manage, the more book process can get very unruly. This is why when people are looking for beta readers, I quite often say, you know, send some questions of very specific things that you want them to read for. and give them a deadline, even though they, you know, they might be doing it for free as a favor, or they might be paid beta readers, but it's the more people that get involved at that stage, the more it can kind of like go off in lots of directions.
Yes.
Really, as we go down the production process, it really should be getting narrower and narrower rather than like,
right,
you know, going off in all these different places.
All of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, I have a lot of changes to make. And they weren't hard, but it was just, it was very stressful at a time when I should have been looking forward to having a book.
Yeah, you're like 12 times your work.
Yeah. Everyone, yeah. Yeah.
That's really what the answer is, if it's a release or some kind of, you know, permission to edit their words. I guess the thing with your book is you've done it in a reported way, which is already a little step removed from them. So you were the author of it in the end, rather than them telling the stories first person and them all being like, I did this, I did that.
Right.
So that could have, you know, potentially softened it a little bit. But yeah, I imagine that it would be quite a lot to see your story in print, especially if you're not prepared to do it yourself. And you
pass
over to someone else, because you've got ownership of your own story and your own life. So somebody else
has
any kind of ownership of your story. It's definitely a great idea. I navigated very gracefully.
Yeah, and it makes total sense now, but like looking back, I just did not expect that. For whatever reason, I just did not expect it. And I think going into it, at least changing my expectations would help that process a little bit. And I would probably hand them that story a little sooner in the process, probably before first edits. But it was, you know, at the end of the day, like it all worked out really well. Like the changes, like I said, weren't major. Most of it ended up being game changes. Sorry, my dog. so it ended up working out just fine. And I think if I write a book again, I think I do like the idea of sharing stories, but I think I would probably write a book on codependency and the, sorry, just letting my dog out of the Zoom problems we have these days. But I think writing a story about codependency and kind of the process of beginning recovery. I don't think we ever really recover from codependency, but I have like four main pillars that I like to teach people, and really diving into those and teaching people the steps they can take to feel better. You know, people pleasing and feeling anxious and not happy in our relationships is not a way for anybody to live. And so what I've learned to teach people is how to really love themselves, create boundaries, communicate better, and learn what acceptance looks like. And so I think through those, you know, there's really a book out there to be written on codependency that isn't out there yet.
I agree.
There is a lot of 12-step authors like Melody Beattie, which is amazing. And if you resonate with 12 steps and the AA Al-Anon program, then that will make a lot of sense for you. It made a lot of sense for me, even though I'm not really an AA Al-Anon person. And there's some other authors out there too, but some are more therapist driven. And so I really think I have a lot to say in that respect. And so I think that'll be my next book. For sure.
Well, yeah. I will link everybody up with your current book and like let them be able to grab that at the end of this video. And also you've got a Facebook group that people, that's open to join, isn't it? It's open.
Yes, it is.
So Peace From Within on Facebook, look it up and find Melanie if you're interested in codependency and all of those pillars that she was just talking about, boundaries, looking after yourself, communication, all of that kind of thing. You don't have to have any connection to, you know, people who are struggling with addiction. It can be any form that codependency might take. And I think we've discussed in the group a few times, you know, different aspects of how it's popped up that we didn't expect and what it can look like. And it's actually quite wide ranging.
Yes, it's much more than it, I think a lot of people think of it. You know, people think, well, codependency is when you love somebody with addiction, and that's how it started, but it's really morphed into something so much more, because those behaviors are evident in other people that have, you know, childhood traumas or You know, it could be just a normal childhood, but something stuck that your mom or dad did, and it wasn't necessarily bad. It wasn't traumatic or abusive in any way, but it's just something that stuck with you and caused you to behave a certain way. And so learning to recover from that takes a lot of time, but it's definitely possible. So, yeah.
Such an interesting question. Thank you so much for joining us today and talking about your book. Like I said, I'll make sure everybody knows where they can get hold of that and get hold of you. And hopefully we'll see some more books in the future.
Yes, you will. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.